rock and roll all day long, sweet Susie.
Hello and welcome to the Fangamer Podcast. This is episode 41. Every week on the Fangamer Podcast, we try and give you a behind-the-scenes look at what it's like to work for Fangamer, updates on our new products, and other geeky things we happen to be up to. This week, we're going to take a moment back to discuss our favorite moments in games, things that have just blown us away, things that we have thought have been amazingly cool. First, before we jump into the show topic, let me introduce my usual co-host, Benjamin Kerrigan. Yeah?
Also known as Garbage Tier McGee.
The best internet connection ever. And Liz B. Bose here tonight, late night in their respective homes. But it's still going to be a good cast. No one's going to get tired and yawn right in the middle. It's going to be excellent.
And if we do, we'll mute.
First yawn of the podcast.
That wasn't me. That was a guard from Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Matt's doing
so
it too.
So, if you couldn't tell, Ben is on a brand new microphone. He sounds...
We can't tell.
I don't think you can tell.
People probably think that microphone's a piece of garbage.
This is a life lesson for people that just because you have the best tools in the world, you still have to have a decent internet connection to go with them.
Bottleneck.
Hey!
But eventually, one day, you'll hear that Ben's new microphone makes him sound beautiful. Just like Liz does when she's right up next to hers, talking intensely loud in my brain.
Ben, I heard a rumor that you sound like Ira Glass. And I would like to say, it's kind of true, but you are not quite as buttery.
I agree.
I so don't agree. Like, my brother's girlfriend was talking about, like, I told her I was on a podcast. And she was like, yeah, you sound like that guy on This American Life from, like, no,
a young version of Ira Glass. No, I see it, because there's kind of a higher pitched inflection sometimes. There's that sort of casual but still to business side. Yeah, I got it. I've seen him in person, Ben. I'm an authority.
I guess.
I stalk him. I would know.
Or
I guess now the question is, does Ira Glass enjoy Soulja Boy? Tell him.
He likes a lot of weird music. He's talked about it on his This American Life various times. But I was going to say the other person you sound like Jen brought up, I think at some point, was Brendan Small from from various Brendan Small productions such as Home Movies, which is wonderful, by the way.
Again, I don't agree, but I'll take the compliment because I love Brendan Small.
Let me translate that from Brendan Small speak to what everyone else. He says that he loves that, and then I don't know what he said over that because I couldn't understand because his connection is really crappy.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Can I really cut out?
No, you actually sound passable on my end, and I'm the one recording, so I... Shut up, Garrett.
Okay, if you say so. Because right when you said that, like, it's almost like to tempt the fates. Yours just went, while you were saying
it went like that, really?
No, you said passing is what it sounded like on my side. I was like, oh, wow.
Let's just move on with this.
So, what you guys been up to? What you guys been up to since we last talked, which was Game Club last week? Ben, did you ever get Pokemon Black?
I did, and I haven't been playing as much as I would have liked to because I've been hanging out with my family, but they're finally gone. So hopefully this week I'll really tear into the game. I've also been playing Professor Layton.
Who cares about Professor Layton? How are you going to overcome not being able to read Japanese?
Well, I have a walkthrough. I'm still pretty lost.
But aren't especially... you going to miss the subtle plot nuances?
Actually, like, you might be joking, but this game seems really plot heavy.
It is. So, like, I've heard that.
I'm playing through it, and I'm not really irritated that I don't understand it. More so, excited to be able to understand it in the future, especially considering I'm still having a good time.
Really?
So it's
I
not
don't
like.
I if I didn't know the name of a move, I would just find that incredibly frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating to like look up the move sets to like see what move you're learning like every three levels, because you learn moves like gangbusters in this game. It's ridiculous.
I think it'll get easier as you go along and you start to associate the symbols with certain moves in your head.
Yeah, like I've already learned the symbols for ball. We're doing good in that regard.
What about poke? You learn the poke part yet?
I don't know if no, I don't know. I haven't seen the symbols for
What about
poke.
I was gonna say, when does this actually come out in the Americas over here in English?
March?
March.
Yeah.
I can wait.
Yeah.
I can
But
definitely
like
wait.
it's been going good so far, but I just got to the point in the game where you go to this huge city and you have no direction. So I'm having a good old time trying to meander around and talk to the million people in this city to find out exactly what I'm supposed to do. So
Ben's version of Ash is just like, does anyone speak English here? Seriously, though.
that's basically Ash's version of Ash.
It is.
Durr.
Okay, so Liz, what have you been playing anything besides the Pokemans for Game Club?
I have a story about video games that I can
Oh,
tell you.
wow, I'm ready.
I was on Chicago's famed CTA Brown Line today. I came home in the middle of the day to after a calculus test and then took the train back into school, and across from me on the train was a man with headphones on so that you could not hear his music, and a full-blown gorgeous Guitar Hero guitar in his lap. And to music no one else could hear, and that was not plugged into any game system, he was playing many songs on expert mode.
Wait, what? Okay. So how he was crazy or he could somehow see Guitar Hero?
I think he's just one of those people who has played the expert songs so many times that he's remembered. It's like the muscle memory, so
Oh.
like you put on more than a feeling and you
Wow.
just hear like click,
Yeah, and he's
click,
just like
click.
red, blue, green, blue,
Oh yeah.
orange.
At one point, like, he just threw it down on his lap and started playing it like a piano, and it was like not even a transition. It just happened.
So, did you record this with your iPhone?
I did. I actually
Oh
just
man,
I sent a video
Liz!
I sent a video of it to Brian earlier, and he named him BB Plastic.
Oh
And we were arguing
my
about
gosh! Because
whose wedding he was going to play.
if I had told this story, it'd have been, oh, you guys, that's such a good idea. I didn't record.
It
Okay,
was
can you put this on YouTube so that we can see
Yeah, put on the
this?
Fangamer YouTube.
I feel bad
Yeah,
because you
right
can
there.
like kind of see the guy's face in it, so I don't want like I don't know, what are the rules on YouTube? Can you just make an anonymous person your internet bitch?
Just make a new account. No one will ever tie it back to this podcast.
I'll throw it in the Fangamer chat first so you guys can all enjoy it. I got a couple of pictures and I think like 15 or 20 seconds of video of him just going for it.
And you can't hear the music at all?
No, I actually put on I think it was like Stairway to Heaven just so I could pretend he was playing something and I could hear it.
That's so good. That's so excellent.
He had a
Wow.
guitar. I'm not too familiar with Guitar Hero, but he had a guitar where he had the five keys up on top, like the clickable ones, and then you slide your fingers along up
Slide
and
bar.
down. Yeah, and he had like flat keys that were
Yeah, that
almost.
sounds like the Rock Band one. Although I guess the
It
newer
said
versions
Guitar
of it,
Hero on the top.
yeah.
I
So,
scoped that out.
yeah, the first one that did that was like Rock Band, and I guess Guitar Hero has now copied it as they would. So, okay,
Can I tell
cool.
you, this guitar was covered with flame decals. Like, wow,
Well,
there
of
was no more
course.
space for flames.
And you gotta
Any
play
more skull? Any
fast.
skulls?
There were a
Just
couple,
flames.
yes. I think they were on fire. Otherwise, they would not have fit the theme.
I like that he has that real attention to detail.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a
He
savant. He
needs
had a cool hat,
uniformity.
too.
Wow. And did he notice that you were recording him, or he was just so into the moment that he.
And he's in like that Ben
I,
state, I
he
bet.
was into the moment. I had like I wasn't just straight up lifting the phone, like I had it in my lap, so my thumb's blocking like the bottom third, but it was better to get some footage than no footage. I was trying not to cause a ruckus since the guy next to me on the other side was studying for his citizenship test, so I was looking over at his shoulder, thinking like, could I name five different positions in the cabinet?
Speaker, congressman, It's
all the
Congresswoman.
secretaries. It's like Secretary of Agriculture, Education,
Oh, that.
Defense.
Oh. No, I don't think I could have named that either.
Yeah, there were a bunch that I was looking at it, and I saw the guy taking all these notes in the margins, like, name three wars in the 1900s, and I was like, I hope it's not ones that we've won. I think we topped out at two there.
Oh no. Oh, okay. I haven't been playing anything other than, oh wait, that's not true, I guess. I was down in Tucson this weekend for a wedding, which also happens to be where the Fangamer office is. I was on Office Cam Friday. That was fun. It was my idea to do Pokemon Charades, or I think we called it Sculpidex. Sculpidex? Yes, something like that. Did you guys catch that
Sculpidex.
episode there?
I missed it.
I went
I was
out.
You went out on a Friday. What's that about?
In business school, people go out all the time. It's just like you work hard. You don't really
You
work hard, but you
play
go hard.
hard.
Yeah. Drinking.
Anyway, let's see. Yeah, I sculpted a golem. People guessed it pretty quickly. Reed sculpted a. Oh, what's that actor? He did Top Gun.
Goose.
And no, he.
At first
Sorry,
I
not
thought
even
this
an
was
actor.
all Pokemon themed.
Yeah,
Yeah,
me
it
too.
was. I know, that's why it's funny. It was the director of Top Gun. He's the Brockheimer, Jerry Brockheimer. He made Jerry Brockheimer mod. That was the Pokemon he made. Liz, let's see. You would have guessed this one that Jen made, if I can remember. She did a. I think she just did a Jigglypuff, actually.
Jigglypuff's cute.
It looked like it was on drugs a little bit, but it was still a Jigglypuff. And Ryan made something. Oh man, this is
He probably made a Porygon dork.
He likes computers.
What a loser. I hope it gave him a seizure. That's a Porygon anime joke, kids. Some of our
Wow.
listeners may actually be too young to remember that.
Oh, let's not talk about
Let's see. So yeah, I did that.
Ben.
We got to
What do you mean,
play.
Ben? I'm a year younger than you. Get out of here.
No, you're 2 years younger than me, I thought.
False. How old are you?
23.
Oh. Well
Oh, hold on. Nothing but net.
Swish.
From downtown. One more. Boom shakalaka.
Razzle dazzle.
Yeah, so I got to play Pokemon on their projector. That was pretty fun, actually.
That
And
is
then
fun.
Jen played, she's playing the remake. I think she's playing Fire Red, or I don't know. She's playing that on the GameCube, Game Boy Player thing. And I went to their local used bookstore slash entertainment store called Bookman's and picked up a Game Boy player and disc for $15, which means I can now use my Game Boy player because I lost the disc. So I am happy to be able to use my GameCube Game Boy player again, which is exciting.
Spoiler.
Also, in video game news, John literally sent me his childhood in a box, two boxes,
That sounds
today.
what?
Quite sordid.
He sent me
Literally.
literally like every video game he's like ever owned. Like, I don't know how he said that he kept certain things because I have his N64, his GameCube, mini Nintendo, Super Nintendo games, N64 games, tons of Game Boy games. He also sent me what looks like at least 100 Pokemon figures. Like, I was
Oh,
able to.
he
Oh
gave all
yeah, he
those?
does have a
I
ton of
was wanting to
Pokemon, or he
steal.
did.
I have like four of his here, actually.
Yeah. Which four do you have?
I have a Vulpix, an Eevee, a
That's where the
Pikachu,
Eevee is.
and a Tangela, because no one likes Tangela but me.
I love Tangela. It looks like a Fry
Oh.
Kid from McDonald's.
It's true.
And
So I got
I also like whatever Tangela's evolution is that I don't think anyone ever
Tangela. He's pretty
uses.
cool.
Yeah.
I did. I used him in my underused journey in the Starmon.net tournament. He got
Ooh.
rocked.
Do not to derail, but while we're off the rails, does Starmon have like a shoddy battle or an online battle presence? I want to battle some people. My blood's all pumped.
We have a Pokemon tournament Kanto League thing going on the forums in one of our four Pokemon threads.
Sounds complicated.
Not really. I mean, actually, I'm not sure
Yeah.
of the actual status of the tournament right now, but I'm sure if we shook things up, they would get their acts together and start something up.
I just want to log on with an EV evolution team and wail on somebody and lose. That's all. No gyms, no battles, just Leafeon and Glaceon dancing
you wanna,
in the snow.
You still want to fight club it.
I do.
There doesn't need to be a winner. It's all about not losers. Being a unique snowflake. It's about feeling alive like an Eevee.
Yeah, Eevee's so cute. Looks like a little Corey.
That's true. I got two Eevees in this room.
So yeah, he sent me those. And anything else fun? I think that's pretty much, yeah, his childhood, which I think he told me that Atlanta, or Hotlanta, as I like to call it, that he lives near, does not have any sort of used gaming presence other than like a GameStop, who won't obviously buy most of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think he's either going to come out here at some point and wants to sell it to them, but I think I'll probably try to on his behalf and go down there and sell the stuff to Pink Gorilla and get him some store credit. Yeah, I'm going to try and keep any of the sweet stuff. Like, he just sent me Pokemon Red and Blue, and I can't find my Red anywhere, so I'm probably going to keep that. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
Did he send you the player's guides for Donkey Kong Country?
No, but I'm the one who has those. I bought
He's got them too, though. I think somebody bought them from him.
I have the Donkey Kong Country and the sequel. I bought those at the Portland gaming one I went to a couple weekends ago.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Do you want that first one, the Donkey Kong one?
Because no, I want the second one.
Oh, that's you and John could fight over it then.
Blood going. It's a good game.
So yeah, that's what I've been up to.
What'd you say, Ben?
I was kidding.
Shut up.
Let's take a break before we start getting into a fight here, and we'll take a moment here. In fact, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna do something crazy at the beginning of the cast. We're going to play Charlie's Audio Candy because it's so good and it deserves to go earlier in the cast. There you go.
So
enjoy Charlie's Audio Candy.
Hey, everybody. This is Charlie with Audio Candy. If there's any game out there that just oozes with coolness, it's the freeware PC platformer Cave Story. Whether you upgrade to the machine gun and fly around at will, or you hold off for the spur and the booster 2.0, you will end the game feeling like one cool robot. But you know what's really cool? When you think, and I mean really wrap your mind around, what went into making Cave Story. What Pixel did, with time, dedication, and skill, should really inspire us to bring quality to whatever we do. Today we return to OC Remix, featuring Karan's rendition of Dokutsu Monogatari's song, Gestation. This remix is entitled, Escape Route.
Thank you.
You can find the song at ocremix.org. Please send all Audio Candy suggestions and comments to charlie@fangamer.com.
All right, let's continue with the podcast. Fangamer News, Earthbound Fan Fest has been announced. I don't know if people are still holding on to the seat of their pants because it's going to be amazing. Please, oh my gosh. The things that are about to happen, well, I can't talk about the part that's too super amazing because we're still planning that part. But it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
However,
dangerously amazing.
Last year, we didn't make good on the Fun Fest. We are combining Fan Fest and Fun Fest into an awesome Fan Fest with prizes and the normal freebies for Fan Fest, awesome hosts, gameplay points of your favorite game, and a revamped Fan Fest site. Because the other one is pretty good, but this new one, even better. Holy crap. I've seen some mock-ups. I've seen some logos. It's going to be pretty amazing. I'm excited. Ben, it sounds like you're excited. Liz, it sounds like you're not paying attention. So I'm going to ask you, what are you excited for on the Fan Fest?
I'm actually looking through for the Fan Fest page because I'm thinking, like, I know it's been posted, but I haven't seen it yet. And I'm really excited to see it. And everyone's spoken highly of it. So it's because I'm using Propane now. And when I go to open files and transcripts, it doesn't hit me with all the chat rooms that I have access to. It's just the ones I'm in. So I feel like
But it does allow you to keyword blip things. So if you want, someone says your name, it'll pop up, will come up, which is way nicer. But anyway, tangent. Let's say FanFest starts October 25th through. Well, let's see. I don't know how that works.
October 5th, 25th
through December 6th. So
December
pretty much
6th, yeah.
The month of November for the most part. A little bit layover on the ends there. There will be contests. There will be Halloween themes. There will be holiday themes. There will be prizes, which I don't want to talk about the prizes yet because we do have a list, but I want to save that for another cast when we get a little bit closer so that people can really get excited about it. But start working on your entries now. I know that maybe a certain Dan Moore has a special piece he's been saving for a year that he'll now get to submit.
Multiple.
Spoiler, it's Jeff X Tony.
So, oh boy.
And just like all of Dan's work, that's why he's going to grad school, to write about Jeff and Tony professionally.
Oh, Dan's going to be on next week, by the way.
Yeah, when we talk about books.
Nerdy books.
Wait, really?
Really.
I'm pissed. You're still
Does that mean
too.
I'm
you're
not
going to
be on it?
No, you're a permanent fixture.
That was so sad. That's like when your little brother comes and like, so now your friends are here and you have a fourth person for Mario Party, does that mean I can't play anymore?
Yeah,
get out of here. That's exactly what it means. Go get me into it.
All right, that means I should probably read a book in between now and then.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get through more than the first two pages of it.
You should all read Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best.
What is Game of Thrones?
Yeah, can you give me a brief synopsis that doesn't spoil anything? Like, just like, why is it a cool book?
It is a cool book. Because I just actually had to go through this with Matt earlier. You have a country that's been under one rule for like 300 years or so, and it's been going pretty well, but underground there's like 7 different factions and it's all kind of falling apart at the seams. So without spoiling anything, there is an event where suddenly leadership is thrown into a question and you just see a bunch of terrible people clawing each other apart to try and figure out who's going to lead the country next. And they're all bad people, but they're all interesting people.
I think I know what happened. Sylvester Stallone comes back from being frozen cryogenically to help Arnold Schwarzenegger, who is the president, legitimately, to stop a deranged Wesley Snipes, who is leading the underground factions to raise up against the surface.
Called it.
Yeah.
None of those actors are going to be in the HBO version this spring, but I mean, maybe Wesley Snipes, I don't know.
No, but that sounded surprisingly like Demolition Man as you described it. But I really like that movie, so.
Yeah, and I like the pinball game.
Yeah.
Damn.
Are you thinking Judge Dredd?
No, I'm definitely thinking of the pinball game. Dan has Demolition Man the pinball
game. Oh, right, right.
You get the new ball, and it's like, not many men get a second chance, John Spartan.
We need
he
to have that.
He knows all the quotes. It's really
and whatever cool. The intro song for this show becomes, it needs to have a reference to Demolition Man and John Spartan.
I'll just ask him to make an MP3 of the pinball thing powering up.
All right.
Although he's not near at his parents' house anymore, so he couldn't get down to their secret pinball basement.
We have derailed completely. I don't even remember.
We were talking about a podcast.
Game Club. Let's talk about that briefly. Game Club is going really well. We're playing Pokemon Blue and Red. Mm-hmm. We have actually been doing the live stream on Ustream on Wednesdays at 6 Pacific, which is like 7, 8, 9 Eastern.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
So you should join us. I actually have a capture card so you can watch me play Pokemon. And if I get a little more time this time, I'll hopefully find a way so you can see me and me playing the game, but that didn't work out last time. It was a bit of a rush. So it's been good. I don't know. Like, for me, playing this game club, I have been having a wonderful time. This is probably the first one that I've, like, really, really enjoyed. Like, the other ones have always been a fair amount of a chore. Like, mm-hmm. I've had to push myself. But this one, like, I went today, and I went and just beat the plant gym without too much.
Oh, yeah, Erica?
Yeah, I had a good time. I didn't have any fire Pokemon. Luckily, who knew? Bird Pokemon super effective against plants. Awesome.
I knew that. There's a lot.
Everyone knew that, but okay.
Grass is weak to a lot. I think it's like bug.
I don't remember. Well, I don't remember the role. I consider those the kind of minor ones. Like all the element ones, like fire and water and ice. I know all those ones, but like.
Wait, are you saying grass is a minor type?
I'm like,
it's one of the starters, Gary.
I'm like, is bug weak to fire or is it weak to
psychic? I know what you mean. Like, when you get into, like, what is poison and rock
stuff like,
weak to?
The ones that usually you don't have any trouble beating.
Yeah.
Or you don't
fight. It's like, why is normal weak against fighting? That doesn't make sense, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because then why would you need fighting, I guess? Because fighting kind of sucks.
To beat up dark types later, maybe.
Well, see, yeah, I don't know dark type anyway. Okay, so Game Club, you should join us. It's been really good. The forum thread's going very strong.
Mm-hmm.
People are participating with some fun things. I think I saw a post in there about someone who recreated the whole Pokemon world in Minecraft.
I watched
it
that.
It actually looks pretty impressive considering it's done in Minecraft, so...
It's very nice.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So, that was Fangamer News. Let's
talk
a short break here, and we'll get into our show topic of awesome stuff that's blown you away in video games. You ready, Ben?
I should be. What?
Then do it.
What, were you surprised to hear me talk? Like, what was that?
Because we've been waiting for you.
You guys were talking about something.
Just nothing important.
You guys.
Come on,
okay.
Ben.
If you
all
need
right.
me now, you'll take away the all biggest right. part of me. Ooh.
I hope that stays in. Anyway. Anyway, this week on the Fangamer Podcast, we had the subject of the coolest games you know, with a stupid little U and a K for cool, because we're super cool.
It's like the whitest kid you know. That's the joke. It's a good comedy group.
if you say so, Liz. Anyway, this week we're looking back on the coolest things we've ever seen in games, be it like just things that blew your mind, things you've never seen in games before, like we got the Earthbound Player's Guide, just stuff like that that blew you away when you were a kid because nothing ever quite did that before. And we got a forum thread here where a bunch of people chimed in, and I think it all comes down to cool spot personally, and I think we could just stop talking about it there, but I think we should talk about what other people said too. And what did you guys think?
Well, Liz, this was your baby, so to speak. I think talk about Din's Fire.
Din's Fire, I love. Ocarina of Time, I love. Let me wind this back up before I just jump right in. What I have always found fascinating and cool about video games is how the different attacks look. When I play video games, or at least when I did when I was a kid before my spirit was broken, I would look at all the different attacks and say, like, when I grow up, I want to learn how to do that. Like, I think I have a diary entry from when I was, like, 10 talking about how I was going to learn how to do the one Magus move, like Dark Matter or something, and I have a little drawing of the triangle in my diary. Like, I'm gonna learn how to do that.
Wow.
That's amazing. I hope it wasn't like 18. God.
Hope it wasn't yesterday.
Yeah.
Might have been.
It was this morning during the calculus
so
test.
That makes sense.
That sort of chimes.
Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say, Ben?
Oh, no, I was just gonna say that sort of chimes in with what Climb Hazard said in the thread about how, like, Limit Break style attacks and like how fabulous and showy they've been.
Oh yeah.
Just like special attacks in games and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm such a sucker for that stuff. Like at the end of Advent Children, where Cloud has like 18 swords coming out of the original one and he's like dropping a spirit bomb on Sephiroth. There's a part of me, like the left brain, that knows that that's very foolish to find enjoyable because it's poorly put together, but the right side of the brain is just like, that's awesome. I wish my sword had a motor and 18 smaller swords. That's the kind of stuff where I just think, like, it's so stupid, but it's so badass. And that's, like, I get sick enjoyment from things like Din's Fire and Ocarina of Time, when you can light, like, 20 torches at once just for doing, like, the weird ground pound with your hands. He does, like, a funky little cartwheel. It's not... not so sexy in retrospect, but it seemed very cool at the time. I love that
stuff. Did you also want to learn how to do the cartwheel?
I'm sure I attempted it, like, when I was a kid in the backyard. I mean, I wanted to be the little mouse from Redwall with her, like, rope braid thing when I was a kid, and I used to hit trees with a length of rope. I'm sure I smacked myself in the face a bunch of times.
Ow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you actually did talk you rewound it, but talk about Din's Fire then.
Didn't I just talk about it? How he did the little cartwheel move and he could light a bunch of torches? You? Yeah. Wow, Space Cadet.
Way to pick.
Major Adacron.
I listened to all the other parts.
Wow.
Okay, sorry. Well, okay. There is a moment that I thought of from the same game for me, because I remember following, as many of us did, Nintendo Power talking about the new 3D Zelda game, The Coming of Christ, and that really hyped it up for me, you know, hugely. I remember that the only place you could pre-order in my town was the newly opened at the time Walmart, which is across the freeway.
I
had to ride my bike all the way out there. It was a very scary bike ride, and put my $5 down for the gold version, the limited collector's gold version of it. And
I
then
wish
the
I had that.
The day it came out, had to ride my bike back out there for it, into the Walmart and buy the game, and it was worth it. There's that trek to it. But the moment that I remember, aside from just turning it on, and like you're just in Link's house at the very beginning, and it has that, I don't know what they even call it, the kind of, it looks like it's just a picture that you're on. Does that make sense? Like, it's not 3D. That's not polygons.
Oh, yeah.
Like a pre-rendered background image of his house. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's amazing looking. And you can kind of interact with it, but not really. You know, like that. And then leaving and going to the first temple, which was the tree, and just thinking, oh my gosh, this tree is huge. And just that first moment where you see how huge the tree is. And then when the mouth opens up and you actually go inside and just... the immensity of how big that tree felt.
Yeah.
That there were several layers When you actually get up to that top floor layer and you jump through and you have
bust
to
bust the net thing.
Yeah, you bust through the
and that feeling of like gravity but also size that you are now three levels deep within this place. Mm-hmm. That sense of size, that game did it a lot of other times, like with the forest temple again, just that the 3D nature of it and the turning, like I thought that was amazing that you shot that arrow and it actually kind of
the hallways, how they would like twist and untwist, like, and how as you walked along the camera tilted, that was so cool.
I mean, there were so many holy crap moments, like that was just so cool. And I even think back now to like when we replayed through or replayed Majora's Mask, how it uses similar things. I'm like, man, those were amazing moments. That game did it a lot because it was one of the first 3D adventure games like that. I think a lot, it kind of ushered in a genre of those games like Banjo-Kazooie and like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro and lots of other games like it that not many of them had as many. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. So that's
not to discredit you, but have you ever played Crash Bandicoot? It's not much like Zelda.
3D platforming adventure style games, anything in the 3D realm is what I'm trying to say, because there was a lack of them up until right about then.
Ben, are you saying those podcast reviews about us are correct, that we're not exactly
no.
an authority on games?
Heck no, those guys, they're not the coolest games I know.
Quite frankly, if being an authority means having extensive knowledge of Crash Bandicoot, I don't want to be an authority. I played Crash Racing. It sucked. That's all I need to know of the genre. The Crash genre.
Crash 1-2-3. That was my childhood right there. If I sent Garrett a box, it would be full of Crash Bandicoot.
That's a pathetic childhood. Crash was such a good one.
That's what's wrong with me.
Another one I just thought up was... Super Metroid, I knew nothing about it when I got it. I had never played the first one. It was actually a discount title at my local Fred Meyer's that I got for like $20. And I'm like, all right, what is this? This is a cool cover. And I started playing it, and I was like, this is amazing. This is such a great game. And there wasn't a lot of oh my gosh moments for me, but at the very end, there was a string of them. And if you haven't played through Super Metroid, then sorry, because I'm going to spoil the ending. When you go to finally play, fight Mother Brain, and she morphs. I never played a game where the boss did that at that point.
Where they achieve a perfect form.
Yeah, where they change forms. Like that, it was just this is what they look like. You kill them, you won. So the fact that it morphed, and then that you could lose no matter how good you were. Like I was like, what is going on? And I kept losing, and then. Oh no, I'm going to lose. I'm going to die. And then the whole moment where the baby Metroid comes in and saves you and you feel sad because he dies. Then he dies on you. You get like the best weapon ever and you just start like the contrast from completely weak and incapable to I'm going to dominate the crap out of this game. It was just so, oh my gosh, that was awesome. You just shoot the crap out of Mother Brain's head. She dies. You're like, yeah, you're feeling so... So that moment of reprieve, then all of a sudden, holy crap, I have got to get out of here in less than 2 minutes, and that pressure comes on. And when you finally make it out and don't die, it's just a really cool feeling. And I thought that's one of the few moments I think of back even now that when I go back and play them, it still gets some of that original feeling to it. But yeah, Super Metroid, another Nintendo title. I don't know if people knew this is the Nintendo podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we talk about here.
Whoa, so we were just talking about Crash.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind. We got it. Let's see. What else you guys got, Liz? Or Ben? You haven't said one yet. What do you got?
I haven't. This was probably the coolest thing for me as a kid, and I feel like a big old dork for like this being it. But like the concept of a real-time clock in my video games just blows me away. And it's prevalent in my two favorite games. Well, I don't know about two favorite of all time or anything, but... Pokemon Gold, the second generation of Pokemon, I had Gold. It introduced real-time clock to the series, and I found that to be so cool because, like, you had Pokemon that you can catch in at day, some at night. Like, you had certain things that can only be done on certain days. Like, you had a bug-catching competition on Tuesdays and stuff, and I always found it really amazing that, like, there was some sort of real-world equivalent going on inside of this game. And that sort of carried over to my love of a little game called Animal Crossing. Which
I was hoping you weren't going there, but I thought we were.
I'm going there. I love that game. It is among my favorites. And I was talking to my friend Oswald about it, and he mentioned that that game is really all about, like, cool, spiffy things that happen that you don't really see in other games. Like, just from, like, the town itself being a living place that keeps progressing even if you're not playing it. You can go back and, like, you'll have mail from some villager that doesn't live there anymore with, like, some gifts for you, and, like, there are times where, like, some cat will come to town with a face that was like a dong your friend drew. And what other games do you have
that is
a dong
face
cat? That is a fun memory. But just stuff like that. Like, that game is made up of things that really, as a big giant girl, blows you away.
Well, there was the I remember from Animal Crossing the first time you don't save it right and that Mr. Rossetti comes out.
That
kind of breaking that third wall. I thought that was pretty cool, and that was
definitely
a different thing. I for some reason remember like a car being like in the right in the middle of the forest or something.
Yeah, sometimes Gracie comes to town and you have to wash her car, so she'll give you rags and insult you.
Yeah,
see, I'm gonna be honest with you, not to stomp on your beloved.
Oh, no, it's
but
cool.
The first time I played Animal Crossing, I remember it was I don't remember the circumstances, but I sat down, I made my little town, and the first thing I went to do was plant a tree, and my friend turned to me, and she was like, in 3 days, you can come back, and it'll be there. And I was like, I just turned at her, and I looked at her, and I was like, screw that, I want to see that tree now. Like, what is the point of this game? I don't have 3 days, I'm here on vacation. And that I felt the same way about Pokemon Silver and Gold when I was reading a Nintendo Power that it was going to have all these real-time events. I was just thinking, like, the hell with that. I have a life. I don't want to... And what life did I have at 15 years old or whatever? But still, it was apparently compelling enough that I didn't feel the need to be pressured to pick up, like, a Blissey on a Thursday. I don't know. I like a certain amount. I like to go back to Ocarina of Time or, like... I'm trying to think of other games, like Majora, that have the in-game clock that... You see the passage of time, but it doesn't necessarily correspond with real life, and it doesn't, like, the effects are minimal on the actual game.
Yeah, I certainly respect that that viewpoint on it. I do, totally. I'm just a really big geek for that sort of thing. Like, in Pokemon Black, they have it where, like, each month is a season, and I love that. That sort of stuff makes me giggly.
That I don't mind, because I feel like once 4 months you get to see everything, that's not so bad. But, like, there's the different days of the week. It's like, what if you're just never around on Friday? Like, what if you want to go to sleep? I don't want to stay up till 3 a.m. to catch, like, a Butterfree. That's crazy.
Just stay up late and talk to, what's his name? The dog that comes to town and plays music.
Okay, he's my bro, man.
KK Slider.
KK Slider.
Oh, that's rules.
But another game with an internal clock that, or a clock of some sort that I thought was really cool for similar reasons that Ben said was Harvest Moon, the original for Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I liked that a lot because of, I thought it was really cool because, like what Ben just said, it had a persistent world, so to speak. Not the same level, but, you know, you only had, it was a limit of time. You had 2.5 years to play the game. The day changed, you know, you could see the time change the day. You had to go in at some point. And that was a really new concept for games. And also the fact that it had a very different goal from other games. It was to try and be happy and get these happiness points and expand your life and be a happier person. And that, to me, I thought was just so cool because it was a different trend in gaming at the time. Mm-hmm. You could go in town and try and date a girl and become married and have a kid and get a farm and then get a dairy and a chicken coop
get
and a dog and a horse.
Yeah.
And all those little things were, it's the first time that I remember a game taking me that direction. And I thought it was so cool. I remember before it came out, reading about it in Nintendo Power, getting super excited. And I was so excited that I read through all the strategy for it before it came out. And so I knew exactly what I was doing day one, day two, day three. Okay, I'm going to go buy seeds. Then after I buy the seeds, I'm going to come back and I'm playing like this in a certain pattern. And then I got to go to this place at a certain time. Like I never played the game, but I had already memorized exactly what I needed to do that first week. And I just thought it was one of the coolest games. And when it came out for N64, it was still pretty good. And then after that, it just went downhill and was not good anymore. But yes, Harvest Moon, another one of those games for me that had something super cool. But I thought of one that I'm hoping Liz has a couple to add to that I can't believe I would have even missed. World of Warcraft. There was tons of just, oh my gosh.
Ragnaros was the first time you fought him.
No, seriously, the first time you fight him, especially because you had worked up so hard, or hopefully you did. Like, if you played it when it was at the end of its life, where people were farming the crap out of that instance. But when you were at the beginning trying to get through there, and you were the first people to see that content, and they really do a good job of making you feel in this immense, very difficult situation, like, yeah, or like the Onyxia quest line.
I was just talking about how much I hated all the keying quest lines.
It was annoying. But come on, like the in-game events that would happen.
Cool how you'd bring her head to Orgrimmar and they'd just like stake it up in the town and be like, yeah, somebody killed Onyxia. But then when it happened once every hour, it's she can't die that many times.
Those things did lose their appeal a little bit.
But they were cool the first time. I mean, what can you design that's continuously appealing?
Well, I don't know. When you played, were you in there from the beta or did you not come in until it was out and released?
I don't think I didn't come in until it was released, certainly. Okay. Maybe I was like a year in or something.
Did you know a lot about it beforehand?
I think I probably talked to Matt about it a little bit when it first came out, but I loved Warcraft 3 and I loved Frozen Throne, so.
So there was still, like, you came into it and were like, wow, this game is immense and fun and, like.
Oh, yeah. I thought the first area, I guess it was Tirisfal Glades for me, was just so cool. And now I go back and it's like, what is this hillbilly junction?
Well, they do a really good job of this is the extent of the world you see, and you understand that, and you have a lot of fun there. You're like, wow, a lot of games, this is as big as they get. And then you keep going, and it just expands a little bit more, and then you realize, wow, this is an immense world. And and I think the first time I flew somewhere on a flying mount, a griffin, that was like the coolest thing.
It is very cool. The first time you do like a crazy cross-continental flight path is awesome.
And you see all these places, you're like, oh, wow, what's there? I want to go there. Or like the first time you fly over the snow one on the level 55, 60 zone.
Winterfell?
Over.
No, not Winterfell.
You know what I'm talking about. I can't remember. I can't believe. Wow. Winterspring.
Winterspring.
And you see the giants and that, and you start to see the big old, the mineral veins, the big green ones. I forget, the arcane crystal veins.
Oh, Thorin. God.
You see the rich Thorin veins, crystals. And you see all those things, and you see people fighting there.
You see all the Korean gold farmers running around in a circle.
I'm thinking of a pristine time when those things didn't happen, but yes, that. There are a lot of moments like that in that game, but because Ben is over there sulking in the dark.
I know. Ben's going to have a conniption if we don't stop talking about WoW.
Well, let's go back to our favorite game ever, Pokemon. Pokemon, I bring up because even though we're playing the crap out of it and talking about it a lot, the trading aspect of it and the fact that you had two unique games that had different Pokemon I thought that was really cool. Instead of a gimmick to make you buy the game twice, I thought that was really cool because then it meant when me and my brother played, there was something unique about the game I was playing versus the game he was playing. And we connected in different ways because we could talk about our shared experience, but oh, wow, you have this Pokemon. I've never even seen that one before. And that was a new level that Gamey hadn't been at before that I thought was super cool. Or like when you guys first had the original, I mean, it was tough to battle someone. You had to know someone else who had the game, who lived close enough that as a child you could get to their house.
Yeah,
and had the cables because no one ever bought the cables for Game Boy because everyone had to have two of the game, and none of your friends had the same games ever because most games weren't multiplayer.
I was fortunate unless it was Pokemon to babysit for kids who all had Pokemon. Like I was probably a little too old for it, which. Means Garrett, you were definitely too old for it, but
I don't think so.
I know. I don't really think I was too old for it, but I would babysit for kids.
I think maybe you were too
cables and stuff.
You were too young to be babysitting, is what it sounds like.
No, but girls babysit from like 7th to 9th grade, and the minute you hit high school, it's like you command far higher of a price than any parent can afford because you have a car now. You're a busy girl driving to Wendy's.
into Frosty.
That was the first place I went when I got a car. I was like, I'm going to drive myself to Wendy's and I'm going to get 5 chicken nuggets. John K, our lead artist, would be very proud.
John K style.
John would be like, why get 5 when you get 30? I love you, John.
I love you too, John. It's because we love.
So I wish I could chicken. Get 30 chicken nuggets.
I keep bringing it up because I envy it.
All right, let's... Let's get off the John train. Back to Ben. It sounded like you were going to say something poignant.
Okay, Garrett.
Something poignant about Pokemans.
Was I?
Sound like you were. Maybe you weren't.
Extremely
I don't think
poignant.
I was. Okay. I said a lot about Pokemon already.
Yeah, we'll save it for the game club. Okay, what do you guys got? Is there any from the forum thread that we should be bringing up here, Ben?
There was a lot of stuff that coincided with the forum thread. Like,
let's hear some of that.
Like, Lolith Griff was talking about Majora's Mask and how there was Clock Town, which I think was, if not the first, then one of the first examples of, like, a town that grew and changed as the game progressed, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Majora's Mask, like, playing it recently for Game Club, I can see where that would have been in the same... Oh my gosh, that is amazing that the days change and how it messes around with time. Mm-hmm. Is pretty impressive, and that the world that you could literally follow someone through an entire day, like the mailman, where he goes everywhere. Yeah. That was a pretty big thing for its time. Even now, you don't see that someone trying to achieve that because that's hard to do.
I think it's hard to do, and it was such a polarizing game that I don't think game companies really want to make games like that necessarily.
Right. Yeah, I can see
even
that.
It's good.
Let's see who else. Butsukoi. My buddy brings up, as of course, an awesome one, the whole Gygas battle of Earthbound. Yeah, I don't know how we could have missed
it. Definitely.
Like, not, we needed to talk about that.
The music was really bad.
Well, I mean, it was.
And that's the first moment you're just like, oh my gosh, this is a crazy fight. And all of a sudden, the little music goes from the little 8-bit chiptune to rock. You're like, what? Because there's been no music
in
the game.
Super Nintendo rock.
Yeah, that was amazing.
It was like a weird existential battle for a children's game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and there was nothing like that prior to that moment in that game. Like, there was some stuff that dipped to, like, a little creepiness, like when Onette was taken over and stuff like that. But until then, like, the game was happy-go-lucky, and suddenly, bam, you're...
Things got really serious, happened.
Have we on the podcast talked about, did you guys know you had to pray?
Oh, yeah. I had the strategy guide. I bought it.
Everyone had the strategy guide.
I didn't, actually, because I
got
it from Funko Land.
Oh, so did you not know then?
I think I knew because I was a member of Starman by then. I had played it at my friend's house, and that's how I joined. But yeah, some people, I don't know if they knew that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
It's not intuitive without the guide.
I don't know if anyone's listening out there to our podcast who likes us, I'd love to hear someone's perspective who did that, like, write it somewhere. I'd love to hear what that was like. Anyway, sorry, Ben.
No, I was just going to say, it's like, it wasn't very intuitive to use pray, but, like, it was so unexpected and awesome when you learn, like, that's what you have to do. It's like this command you've used, like, 3 times in the whole game.
And half the
suddenly
times it killed everyone in
different.
Your party. Yeah.
Exactly! And suddenly, that's what you have to do. And when it...
Well, is it
I don't know, maybe
things...
a lot of people felt this was coming, but like when you're praying and like you see your name slowly being filled in, it's like, no way!
That's
why
I was
game.
That was a cool moment. I liked that.
Earthbound had a lot of moments like that. The putting in your name, that was really cool. Like I especially when you find out why. Oh, the pictures at the end, that was really cool. Like you've been taking them the whole game, you don't know why, and all of a sudden like, oh, it's all the places I've been. That's really cool.
Are those really the pictures you've taken? Because there have been moments where, like,
they
my
are.
Whole party was dead and I had pictures taken. And I don't remember anyone being dead.
It'll have a picture of them dead, and it'll have them, like, with mushrooms on their heads.
I suspected it was a gimmick for years as well, Ben, so don't be alone. But it is.
I guess I'll notice in the Earthbound Fan Fest.
You will.
Or you will. We'll see. let's see.
Ben.
Ben, do you have some of your own here that we have not hit that are important?
Yeah, I have a couple, actually. Everyone's favorite, Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, yeah.
Very cool. Okay, even if you didn't like the game, you have to admit, the thought, the concept of fighting giant dudes that just, like, sprouted from the ground and, like, climbing up them and stabbing them in the face. Just the feeling of doing that.
Climbing up giant dudes. I don't know.
You don't know?
It's a little weird. But seriously, it is a very cool concept, and I've looked at some of the art for the game, and I think it's very interesting. I probably would have... Oh, that's a discussion I've had millions of times, but yeah, it was a really cool concept.
No, there was moments in that game where when I could look past the controls that I thought, this is epic. This is so cool. Like the fight with the bird, the first time I found the flying one, that was really incredible.
I liked the underwater dude, the electric one with the pylons on his back.
Yeah,
I thought that was cool.
He surfaces and come back. Yeah, there's a lot of cool ones like that. So yes, I agree. That's a good one.
For me, that game like revolutionized what a boss battle could be. I love the game. I'm going to talk about it like it's the best thing in the world. But like right after playing Shadow of the Colossus, I went to play Majora's Mask. And like seeing the lack of like stupid, dumb strategy you didn't need for bosses in Majora's Mask, which is essentially just hit that guy and then he'll eventually die, versus like... Hey, you gotta figure out the.
Hey.
I'm not slamming on Majora's Mask.
No. The goat battle was really cool.
That was my favorite fight in the game. I did it like eight times.
The rest
times.
Were not that good, but goat was really probably one of the better Zelda boss fights in general.
I would agree. It was a lot of fun, but I don't know, that game for me, Shadow of the Colossus, redefined what a boss battle could be, and
boring.
I've been holding other games up to that standard since. Shut up, Liz.
I just do it to get under your skin at this point, because I know so many people disagree with me.
No, that's good. That's why we're not the authorities on everything video game. Let's see, Mablim8, who we got to meet at PAX. We met him,
really?
Liz. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He came. He was an enforcer. He came to say hello to us for the show.
Oh,
okay.
And
we
Spiteful Crow.
One in here.
We did. We skipped over a couple of things. But
there's only one dimension that I liked.
You can, because once I'm done, it's Portal. All
right.
Two people bring up Portal, which I agree. The first time I played Portal, just the concepts of that first really complex puzzle you get to, I think everyone knows what I'm talking about, where you're shooting them to the other side of the room and like launching yourself across. And you have to use several of the tricks that you've learned prior to complete that room. I thought that was another, oh my gosh, that's super cool for me. Liz, what did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up PyroGuy42 talking about Snake Eater when you fight the Sorrow and it's like you're in the underworld or hell or some Kojima nightmare, who even knows, but you just see every single guy you've killed in the entire game and you see how they die. Like if you shoot a hornet's nest over one of them, they'll be swatting away bees and they'll be like, and it's really cool that the game, like, I didn't even know a game could keep track of that sort of thing.
It reminds me of that Pokemon Black hack. Freaks me out.
Oh, God, we're not going to talk about that.
No,
but
it's not.
I got to say, Liz, as cool as the Sorrow fight was, not very cool when you've killed nobody and when you die at the very end and have to do it all over again.
Wait, why would that be more annoying when you've killed nobody? Isn't it harder when you've killed just tons of people?
I would sacrifice difficulty. Well, I would rather take difficulty than just walking around in nothing for, like, ever.
I guess, do you, if you tranked guys like the fear in the end and stuff, do you still see them, or?
I think you do, because I still remember seeing those guys. Because they still, like, explode at the end, so they still die.
Yeah, that's right, they explode into arrows and such.
Spoilers.
Spoiler, the general, like...
the bad guys die.
Henchmen die.
One that we touched on earlier that I... was the first thing I wrote down but haven't talked about. Final Fantasy. For me, Final Fantasy VIII. That was the first I played. When I first saw that, the original cutscenes, I had no idea anything about any Final Fantasy game. All I knew, it was an RPG. Put it in. And I saw the first cutscene. I thought, oh my gosh, this game is amazing. And
the opening is really cool.
And then playing
and then you
through,
played it.
And then showing, I really thought that the Balam Garden, I thought that was a really cool concept, like this school of mercenaries. And I was like, I wanna be there. I wanna go to school there. And then going out to the overworld and going through the first summon fight. And when you get him, and then you actually, I hadn't used my summons until then, and actually use my summons, thinking, oh my gosh, that is amazing. That game has a really strong opening, I think, because you go from there to the seed mission. The seed mission is a really, really cool concept. And then you go up to the top of the tower and you get into this fight, and then it turns into another summon fight, which I thought was really amazing. And then you have to escape from the machine, and it's just boss fight after boss fight after tense moment. That whole opening was really strong. And I thought I really tied the game together, and it really made, when you arrive back at the, I had the name of the first town there. It has a really tranquil kind of soothing music, feel very relaxing. So they say, okay, go ahead and take a load off for a while before you go back to town, or back to the school, enjoy yourself. That had a really big...
It's not Fisherman's Horizon, is it?
Oh, no, I think that might be it. I thought that was later in the game, though.
I think it is.
Anyway, as I hear Liz looking it up,
these things drive me nuts if I don't remember what they are.
I just was playing through Final Fantasy VIII a couple weeks ago, but go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to say, all this cool stuff happens in the beginning, but then the Eyes on Me scene happens.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't disagree. That game does fall apart.
Oh, it's a mess. And it's, but that is a dumb scene, because Renoa's just all over him, and he's like, what?
I remember acting that scene out in a very ironic fashion with a friend. It was good times.
I just don't, like, that game had a really good first disc.
Yeah.
But then after that, it really falls apart. So you got to give it that, at least, I'd say. So yeah, Final Fantasy, but let's talk about, there's other Final Fantasies out there. I'm sure you guys have something from one of them you thought was amazing. Knights of the Round or something.
I really thought the Guardian Forces in 8 were cool until I learned that every time you use one, they were apparently like giving you Alzheimer's, which was a nice little plot twist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, every time you use the summon, like as you bonded with them, they were eating away at your memory.
Yeah.
What game is this?
Final Fantasy VIII.
That's why none of them remembered each other from their youth, I think, right?
Except for Irvine, because like 3 discs in, he's like, yeah, I don't use summons. I remember everything. When clearly you've had summons equipped on him the entire time. it really falls apart. Have you played that? Ben, yeah, you did, right? We were just talking about that.
I haven't beaten it.
Yeah, it's really...
Yes. Any other Final Fantasy? I thought 10 was really good, but I mean, we've already talked about that a lot. We're trying to think of really cool moments. Final Fantasy 7.
Lobo brought one up.
Oh, did he?
In the forum thread, he was talking about a Final Fantasy 4 and the Giant of Babel, who appears near the end of the game, where like this giant dude just starts like walking around the little map, and you have to face him head on. And by head on, I mean you go into him, and then it's just another big long dungeon. But just like the concept of like this, he is essentially Dungeon Man, except really not fun. But just like at
Shadow
that point
of
the game,
the Colossus.
But yeah, at that point in the game, it's like the bad guys just like their plan is moving into action, and like it's kind of this oh crap moment when suddenly there's this giant thing walking around and you have to destroy it. Actually, destroying it's lame, but the whole concept of it and how it's introduced is cool in the game. And that made me, or a Lobo Summit reminded me of another thing, of when I was a little kid, in that game, when you first get your airship, you can like fly around and see the world. And I was flying around, and suddenly there was a giant tower just jutting out of the ground. And it scared the crap out of me. I think I cried.
Aww.
You know, when I played Chrono Trigger just for the first time this summer, and the part where, what's it called, appears in the middle, Lavos?
Black Omen. Lavos.
Black Omen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, Black Omen. I thought, and I ran into it. That was actually still really cool for me even now. I was like, whoa, that's awesome. And I go inside, and I do the little initial fight. And I'm like, I don't think I'm supposed to go here yet and get back off and leave. Those moments where they tempt you with something you think is really cool, so you go to it, but then you realize, this may kill the crap out of me. Like Final Fantasy VII, when they have the the weapons kind of wandering around the earth. Those are a good one. That Shadow of the Colossus kind of feeling of this impending doom that you have to kind of run away from for a while. I thought that was pretty cool. Getting my gold Chocobo in 7. Oh, I finished
Chocobo?
That. Oh, that was so good. Yes, that's how I say it. Chocobo. What?
Okay, just put. Okay.
Okay. Come on, Ben. So how's it really? How do you really say it, Ben?
No, we're not going to talk about this. I pronounce it Chocobo personally, but you're entitled to your own pronunciation, Garrett. This is America.
This is America. Let's see. I think that was all the really good ones in the forum thread. Did Liz? This was your podcast idea. Did we? I don't want to miss something that you thought of.
No, I think we did it justice.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Can I, as the last one, can I just mention my boy, my all-time favorite cool game?
Soulja Boy Tell 'Em for SNES.
Soulja Boy Tell 'Em, the game for Super Nintendo, also known as NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
It's an acclaimed and product.
I kind of wish we had Dan Moore on the podcast right now so we could just go on for hours about NBA Jam, but alas, he's not
well,
here.
Well, maybe he'll
be here next week when we kick you out.
He will. Yeah, yeah.
No, you
don't
think that would be like you.
Let's see.
You have to be fangirls for us to drop you.
That's true. You'll lose like 80% of your listeners.
Yeah, we've gone up to like 80 viewers or listeners now. And of those 80, we could use you guys to leave us a review because we're almost at 40. That was how many listeners we had before. We're at 36. So there's 4 of you who haven't done it yet. So come on, get on it. But all the Ben followers, jump on it.
You know,
anyway.
We need a host who's like a polygamist or something, or like the Dugars. So then it's like you get 20 more fans just from the family listening. And
wow.
There's like 19 Duger kids. One of them would host the show with us.
Oh, we're ending it right there. And we're gonna do Kevin's final word on this subject. Take it away, Kevin.
It's just not about the Dugers.
Imagine, if you will, that you're playing a video game. Not hard for most of you, I'm sure, but it's important to set the scene correctly. You're sitting on the couch. About a foot in front of you, there's a table. It's maybe 3 feet wide. On the far side of the room, on top of another table, is the TV, and below that, just out of your view, is your GameCube. So you're playing the game, making your way through the twisting, turning passages. You enter a small library of sorts, where a cohort of blue zombies attack. This is business as usual. You start to crush them with your mace, when suddenly, a message pops up on the screen. It says, "No controller connected to port 1. The controls have gone unresponsive. The zombies are beating your helpless monk to death. What do you do?" Well, if you're anything like me, you immediately lunge over the table in front of you, because that's the fastest way to reach the GameCube from the couch. And when you get there, by which I mean when you belly flop onto the surface of the table, you can see that the controller plug is securely fastened in the port, just like always. And when you look back up at the screen, scratching your head, completely bewildered, you see it flash. You hear a whispered admonition that this isn't happening. And you realize, with some chagrin, that eternal darkness has fooled you once again, to the point of physical reaction with its sanity effect. And that, my friends, is the coolest thing that has ever happened to me in a video game. For Fangamer, I'm Kevin Williams. This isn't happening.
All right, let's end out this show. Thank you guys for staying up late again. I think we've talked about this. Can we announce this as that we will be changing the recording time for the podcast, which thusly will change when we post the podcast? Are we comfortable saying this?
Sure. Yeah.
You know, Charlie and Kevin haven't chimed in yet.
That's right. He's right.
It totally matters to them.
Even though this is good for them too. Okay, we'll say that we're strongly considering moving to having the podcast come out on Mondays. Which
it's
means
happening. Just say
we would record it somewhere around a Friday or a Thursday, and that means that people would. It sounds like you'll have less time to comment on the threads. It's not true. We devised a system where we will put up the next week's on Saturday, so you'll get a chance to really chime in and give your input. Because we enjoy going through the community feedback. It's what makes the show more interesting than just three people's opinions on games. So. Mm-hmm. People out there who love Shadow of the Colossus and always argue with us about how great it is. That's why it's good, that drama. So thank everyone for listening. And also, before we get into the ways to contact us, because we do like to hear from people, I want to read our most recent, one of our most recent reviews by PK Tracer. This is a great review because I think I told Ben this. We need to print out the podcast on a CD so that this can be on the cover of it or on the back of it.
The quote will be on it. So you're gonna underlay like some sweet piano music under this because it deserves it.
Liz. That's up to Liz. Yeah. She's editing this week.
I got a song I can use. It depends on how long he goes on for. I'll have different ones.
I plan to read the three sentences there. So all here we go. I'm gonna do this in my movie theater what do they call them? A trailer voice.
You're gonna ruin it.
Yeah. This podcast is truly on a level of its own, offering compelling anecdotes and viewpoints from people that are truly on top of the highest tiers in a community that will soon set the standards for video games as an art form. Masterfully composed by the good people at Fangamer, this is a joy to listen to, being a fan of nostalgic 90s game culture, and now just finding more people like me. Good work, Fangamer. Good work, Starman.
Garrett, it sounds like you were mocking it.
Yeah. No, it's so good. You need to work on your movie theater voice.
Oh, so it's really good.
Thanks to that, Fangamer.
But I would have said it like that. This is Pegasus, the truth in the world. I didn't say it like that.
Basically what you sounded like.
What? That's BS. Maybe I got some Skype lag or something. I don't know. I think so. I did a good job. Well, next time we'll have you guys read one. In fact, we have another great one right above it that one of you guys could read. I'm calling you out right now. Read it better.
Oh, I wasn't listening to which one you read. I can't tell you that.
You want to copy paste?
Yeah, I'll copy paste it, even though that's not possible from here since it's iTunes.
You can't copy and paste from text? iTunes?
No, not from the reviews.
Oh. All right, well, here's basically the review. Ben's the greatest. I think this podcast should be 100% more Ben.
Ben's the greatest. This is Ben Punkin.
Name's Ben. I like Harvest Moon and Animal Crossing.
I said nothing about Harvest Moon. That was Garrett.
Liz, take us out. How can people get a hold of us now they're no longer ever going to listen to this
podcast?
Now
that they no longer desire to get a hold of us, they can actively ignore us at Twitter, which is twitter.com/fangamer, Facebook, facebook.com, search for Fangamer. Office Cam airs Friday nights on ustream.tv, search, shockingly enough, for Fangamer. Our Flickr account is not under the name Fangamer. It's under Readman, but oddly enough, it displays as fangamer.com. So if you want to jump through a bunch of hoops, you can look at our pictures. For YouTube, our username is FangamerNet. We have lots of videos of cool people doing cool things, just hanging out, having a good time. And, you know,
dudes rocking on a guitar here on the
dudes,
subway.
Dudes and more dudes at the Fangamer video store. Or the video website, whatever.
Video web store.
Yeah. Vimeo, if you search for Fangamer, I think it's reruns of Office Cam.
Mm-hmm.
Our store is fangamer.net. The blog is fangamer.com. If you have forum discussion you want to make, go to the starman.net forums. You can talk about Team Fortress 2, and I think that's about it. I've never looked at any of the other content as an administrator. I don't know what's there.
Okay, let's see. What else? If you want to follow Ben on Twitter, it's twitter.com/DJ.Katan. Or does DJ Katan? No dot. Don't put a dot in there.
I don't know anything about Twitter.
Adacron. No, I don't. Let's be done with the podcast.
All right. Let's call it.
Adios.
Good night.
Ben's like, I refuse to yawn.
Bye.
Thanks for enjoying yet another exciting, exhilarating, and exthrillerating Fangamer podcast. I was asked by my coworker, Ben, if I would put a little commercial in for Fangamer at the end, given the fact that we just rolled out a newsletter with a bunch of hot, fun new products for America's youth. So I figured I could give you a little bit of an overview of what we have released. We restocked the Escargo Express bags after many people asking us for a very long time, and by that same token, we've also restocked the Special Forces messenger bags, so we're going from 0 to 2 messenger bags, which, as someone in dire need of a bag, I find very exciting. We have also branched out into the DKC franchise with the Country Outpost shirt designed by John Kay. It comes in a 50-50 cloth option or the regular 100% cloth option. I can't decide. I like the brown and the green, so I'll let you guys choose when you go ahead and buy it. The BitBoy shirt and the rest of the Reformat the Planet combo has been split apart, so you can now buy individual components of it without buying a whole bundle pack. This is very cool. I have a BitBoy shirt of my own. I'm a big fan. We also have a Metal Gear combo pack, the Boss combo pack, that you can get either 1 or 2 Metal Gear shirts, the Special Forces bag, and a very cool pre-order bonus canteen that comes with it, and the new Liquid pin set, which has 4 pins, including one of our brand new square pins. We have a Donkey Kong pin set, but ideally I should have mentioned back when I was talking about Donkey Kong, that also has the 4 pins and the square pins. We're trying to move into the square pin market, because it's a rough market out there, but we'll try and make a name for ourselves in it. And for the moment, as many things as that is, that's where we stand right now. We've got a lot going on, so keep your eye on the Fangamer store, and we hope to bring you more very cool things in the future. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great weekend.